B-Pod Studios.
On the line with us right now, the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, a man that we look to for great quarterback breakdowns, and especially our own quarterback here in Philadelphia. I mean, his name is Carson Wentz. Joining us right now, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Dan, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? How are you guys doing? Well, probably a dumb question, but hope your guys' morning today is better than yesterday.
Dan, I'll tell you this, my friend. It wasn't as bad as some people try to label the callers of this city, because yesterday we had one doom and gloom, and then everybody else just reacting to this isolated loss, which I was very happy to hear throughout the morning. And you know what? I really appreciated your brief film breakdown of the second sack that Carson Wentz took with Ryan Kerrigan. It looked like Ryan Kerrigan was shocked that Carson was even holding on to the ball after the screenplay failed. What was your take on that whole situation?
Well, I mean, that play was probably the most disappointing one of the whole day for me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, I was so outspoken and adamant last year that we watched Carson, which is a fact, by the way, that we watched him develop and grow and mature. Like, we watched him get rid of some of those plays that you go, that one's not needed, right? And mm-hmm. always this fine line between, you know, you don't want to hold guys back from their greatness. That's one of the things that makes Carson great, as everyone knows, is those plays that you just can't describe. But to have that very same play that he gets knocked out in or from in the playoff game happen, and him just not go, that's not the one. Like, this play is not the one. Second and 20.
Yeah.
Your likelihood of picking it up is 5%. So it was just disappointing that in that play, I go, come on, dude. And I take notes throughout all the games that I'm watching. And at the end of the second quarter, probably with like 2 minutes to go, one of my notes said, quarterback is holding the ball too long. Too many second and third and longs. They will not survive like this. Mm. And it kind of showed itself throughout the rest of the game. But that one play was just like, dude, you just took a year off of growth and maturity in that one play.
Dan, the other play after that was the 13-yard sack. It ended up taking him out. It was a 53. Yeah, so what did you make of that play as well?
Yeah, I mean, so you get into field goal range and you're taught as an early kid playing that position, high school, even into college and in the pros. We've got three. The worst case scenario is this kicker misses this kick. That's the worst case scenario. And to take that sack, it's so emblematic of how the afternoon went, was you trying to win the game, lost the game. You trying to be a superhero, hurt your team. And so that's like, that is, you should be so much advanced past that. You should be so far past that play where you're going and you're grown up and matured past it to say, gosh, dude, like, we should have scored a touchdown, but we got 3 points. Or our kicker, you know, it was on him to do that job. And for him to just kind of in that moment think this is the best option, you know, Sean McVay used to say, it's the right play because it's the only play. And the only play for him there was to throw that ball away. It's not fun. It stinks. It's frustrating. It's the only play. So it's the right play. And that sack, that was my second least favorite. We did it on NFL Live yesterday. My second least favorite play of the day for him. So just disappointed in that aspect. And let me, you know, I don't want to ramble forever on this, but like, I want people to understand, because I need the Eagles fans to understand this too. I know that their offensive line played like dog trash. I get it. I know that they were beat up. So should he. And when you know that you're all beat up like that, there are going to be some sacks that there are nothing you can do about. That's why it's so important to not exacerbate it, to not take the two or three or four that you can control, because you have to know that there are going to be three or four that you can't control. And that's what, like, the most frustrating part of the day for me was, because last year he climbed that mountain. He jumped that hurdle.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And you were walking us through that entire process throughout last season. So if you were part of this coaching quad, which is Doug Peterson, Press Taylor, Rich Gangarello, as well as Marty Morningweg, how do you finally get that into Carson Wentz's head that he doesn't have to be Superman to win you games? He just has to play smart.
Yeah, I mean, my goal this week was to not overreact, but I'm passionate about stuff and whatnot, and so I don't think that this is something where, like, I got to get into your... I saw it last year, Carson.
Yeah.
Like, we saw this last year, that when we call these plays, just run the play. You're the quarterback. You don't need to be all 11. You're one of 11. There's 70 snaps, bud. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to be great. And those opportunities will present themselves. And a lot of times, it's not in the first or second quarter. And again, it's this fine line. But I'm having a very clear conversation with him yesterday. This conversation is already had, and we're watching this tape. And we're going, listen, right now we're beat up. We're beat up, okay? And so you can't hurt our football team with these two or three plays. It's two or three plays. You cannot do this to us. And if I have another play like the screenplay, and this is me, this is not a hot take, this is just me being dead honest. If I'm sitting with him going, Carson, if we have to have this conversation again, I have to pull you off the field and have it in game, because you're going to get yourself hurt, and that hurts us as a team now, and it hurts us as a team in the future. And so, like, it's week one. You haven't played football in 8+ months. You know, like, football is a game of feel. Quarterbacking is a game of feel. And so do I expect a massive jump from last week when it comes to that awareness and feel? 100%. I am still the leader of the Carson Wentz train. but yesterday was a very, very black and white conversation with them. And again, those things, when you're watching the tape, I promise you, Carson's watching there going, yeah, that was stupid. Yeah, that was stupid. Yeah, that was stupid. And he's a smart kid, and you got to let him be competitive. But I expect a huge jump week one to week two.
Dan, everything you said is so spot on, and we can watch, and we see numbers, and we see it with our own eyes that Carson didn't play that good of a game after he started 14 for 18. But to look further into it, what kind of game do you think Doug Peterson had?
Yeah, you know, like, there's a couple plays. They're pulling the backside guard to block Ryan Kerrigan, and I'm sitting there going, what are we doing? What are we doing? And so I said this Monday morning, two people were to blame, Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, because no one, I mean, a lot of people were, but, like, listen, I was, they went and had that season last year because of those two guys. But we all know this, and you guys know this. Last year is last year. Last year is last year. And every coach and player in the world says, this is the now. I thought Doug Peterson didn't help the offensive line out enough, you know, with the way that they were, and Boston Scott going out obviously hurt because the short pass game, and they just got themselves into too many bad second and third and longs. Doug Peterson is as much to blame as Carson Wentz is, but Carson Wentz is the guy that's pulling the trigger. He's out there executing the plays. That's why they'll always get more praise. And so those guys are great. They're two of the best in the business at what they do. They've got to bear the burden of some of it as well. When you lose an offensive lineman in game, that's very difficult for coaches to adjust your game plan. Then you lose another player. So, you know, there's Doug, I'm sure, is looking in the mirror going, okay, what could I have done better? And I think it's also important to say this too, you know, because I've had people hit me up and going, man, Carson, they also had a lights out first half as well.
Right.
So, like, you had two great quarters, best quarterback and play caller, and then you had two bad ones, right? And so game one, there's 15 games left. I expect both those guys to be very inward looking out and going, what could we have done better?
So when you're looking at the game plan, especially in the second half, and you're seeing all the struggles that the offensive line was having, you're seeing Carson struggle as well with decision making when even when he had time in the pocket. But when you look at maybe other plays, slant routes, drags, running the football more, are those all ways that Doug could have helped get the ball out of Carson's hands faster?
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of it goes down to, okay, do we want to run the football? Does it make sense for us to run the football here? Because a lot of times, again, it's a math situation. You know, they had an extra guy versus us, all that stuff. Sometimes you just have to be a little hard-headed with it and understand how, you know, the connectivity of running the football helps the overall flow of the game. Sometimes your quarterback just takes a play off. Sometimes your offensive linemen take a play off. If you ever talk to offensive linemen, they'll always tell you, like, they enjoy pass blocking, but run blocking is easier for them because they could just go push people, you know, and it helps them in their pass blocking. Once defensive linemen know it's a pass and it's coming, it's like, here we go. And so when you're not disciplined enough to run the football, defensive linemen know it. So just the connectivity of the game, I think the pass option could have been a part of it. I think the bootleg could have been a part of it a little bit more, and just kind of getting him out of that pocket. And Gary Kubiak is the best coach I've ever been around. And Doug is great at this, but getting a quarterback into rhythm when he's out of rhythm. You know, it just the feel of the play calling. And, okay, right now this kid stinks at this, and I've got to figure out a way to get him into rhythm. So, you know, a lot of people go, we'll call the screen. That, move the pocket a little bit. Call some of the RPOs. And I would say, like, first down shots more than third down shots are ways to just get those guys into a little bit more rhythm. And so, again, it's week one. They have not played football in 8+ months. If Carson Wentz, if this was the third preseason game, he only would have played the first half, and everyone would be pegging them for the Super Bowl and him for the MVP. And so a lot of growth will come from week one to week two, and a lot of conversation. Hey, coach, could you have done this better? Carson, you need to do this better.
Dan, you know, I guess with sports being back and the NFL, I haven't seen a lot of Dan Orlovsky at home competitions between you and your wife. What's the deal?
this is the way the back end of the summer went. So, you know, like we work out, my wife and I kind of work out almost every day together, just whatever at our house, on our, whatever kind of working out, body weight stuff, this and that. And I'm like psychotic with it, and she's kind of grown into that as well. We didn't post much on the internet anymore because, like, it's a very humbling experience when you're a 12-year professional athlete and your wife crushes you in workouts, and she's doing the same stuff as you. So no at-home competitions that have been posted to make me look like an idiot, but more so because she was crushing me in at-home workouts, and most of my day was spent trying to gather up some courage.
You know what? Just an idea. Just where we all love content. Maybe your wife should critique one of those workouts. Maybe she should get the pen and replay it and break it down. Just a thought, Dan. Just a thought.
That's, yeah. I'm going to take that thought and just keep it to myself.
Okay. we won't tell the missus. Dan, really appreciate you jumping on with this, man, and giving us all the insight and all the scoops on Carson and everything, man. Thanks so much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.